The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
And anytime you have a new year, you talk about New Year's resolutions. We alluded to that a little bit on Monday when we had a show. But I think that there's a lot of people out there and a lot of people listening right now that have made New Year's resolutions. It's kind of tradition, if you will. Something that has to be done. Something that has to be talked about. Something that you may post on your Facebook page or tweet out as a friendly reminder that this is your New Year's resolution. Maybe you write it down and put it on your refrigerator. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. And I don't blame anybody, or I have full support, or I do support people who want to do these things. Because I feel like most of the time when people make New Year's resolutions, it's always about your health. It's always about working out more, going to the gym more, dieting, eating healthier, however you want to put it. That's what it's normally about. Which is fine and which is good, because dieting and eating healthier is one of those things that we all can do. No matter how healthy we may feel like we are or how much we do go to the gym, there's always ways and reasons for us to do better. So it's almost like a cop-out answer to say you're going to eat better and da-da-da-da. But again, if you want to do that, that's fine. However, to kind of switch it up a little bit, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions this morning, as well as many other things, dealing with the Arkansas Razorback athletic program in 2019. Because that's where we are. And in 2019, I think at the start of the year, you always reflect back on what 2018 was all about. And if you look at the major sports for Arkansas, you talk about a roller coaster, up and down type of year. The baseball team had their glorious run to the College World Series final. We were the best team in the country, at least that's how you felt. Best team in the SEC. You had stud players across the board, and you were a mere one strike, one foul ball catch away from winning a national title. There's one. And Razorback basketball, think back to that. You had a lot of seniors, a lot of quality players that made it to the NCAA tournament. Wasn't like they just snuck in. They made it at an at-large bid, and there was no doubt that they deserved to be there. People felt really good about their chances of advancing to the NCAA in the NCAA tournament, maybe making it to that second weekend. But they didn't. Lost to Butler. Wasn't a very pretty game. But he still got to the NCAA tournament. And for all intents and purposes, you know, it wasn't such a bad year. It's actually a pretty good year. All things considered. You want to build on that? You want to get better from it? See how this team does this year. But it's definitely something that you can reflect on and remember. And then, of course, you have the football season of 2019 or 2018. I don't even think anybody wants to remember this past season. I don't think Chad Morris wants to remember it. I don't think any of the players want to remember it, but it happened. And it's one thing to have a bad football season. It's one thing to go 4-8, something like that, only get one or two SEC wins, miss a bowl game. It's one thing to do that because, let's be honest, Arkansas, under many different coaches, have done that. They did that under Houston Nutt. They did that under Bobby Petrino. They did it under Brett Bielema, Danny Ford, Ken Hatfield. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's happened before. It's nothing new. But it's quite another thing to go 2-10, to have your worst season in Razorback football history. 10 losses. That's all, it just almost makes you sick to your stomach just to think about again. And I'm sorry if I'm bringing up bad memories, but you'll get my point here in a second. These are the things that get brought up, that people discuss, that people talk about, and that people reflect on once the new year comes around. So here we are in 2019 officially. Start of a new year. Start fresh. Feels like everything is new around you. When you go back to work, begrudgingly, Still got to go back to work. But you get there, and you're like, all right, this year's going to be different. This year's going to be better than it was last year because I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And by doing those things, it's all going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fun. It's going to be worth it. So take that you have and apply it to the Arkansas Razorback Athletic Program, specifically into three major sports. And think about the New Year's resolutions that this program needs to have, that you want them to have. And also think about XYZ on what it'll take for this athletic program to be able to have those accomplishments this season or this year. If you do those things, I'd be curious to know how you think it's going to be done. Because let's be honest, if you want the Razorback football team to win a national championship this year, okay, not happening. Got to be realistic and logical about it. But can you have them go 6-6 and make a bowl game? Sure. But you got to give XYZ of why that'll happen. Anybody can just say that they want to go to the gym and get healthier and eat better. But you got to have a plan in place. You got to have reasons behind it. You got to be able to give examples of this is why it's going to happen. This is why I'm going to get healthier. I'm going to meal plan. I'm going to eat more chicken and turkey instead of, you know, the good stuff with ground beef and steak. Nothing against that, but see my point. It's the same way when it comes to your New Year's resolutions for the Razorback Athletic Program. Give the plan in place. If it's baseball team, if it's to win the College World Series this year, okay, give XYZ of how that's going to happen. If you think the Razorback basketball team is going to be able to make the second weekend, get to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, great. But give XYZ of how that's going to happen. Because we can all have New Year's resolutions, but the way that we are able to accomplish and succeed in those resolutions is by being realistic. And that's what I'm going to ask the audience. And, of course, we're going to give our thoughts and opinions on it later in the show, too, of what the New Year's resolution will be for the Razorback Athletic Program in 2019. There's a lot of ground to keep up. And in a lot of cases, you don't want to repeat what happened in 2018. Of course, I think everybody would take right now the baseball team making it back to the College World Series final. But you don't want to have it again where you are one foul ball away from winning it all. You don't want to relive that. I think everybody would love to make the NCAA tournament this year, Razorback basketball, especially given the expectations before the season started. It'd be great. Well, somewhat it'd be great, but you want to get more than that. So how's that going to happen? And football team, good grief. I think you could pretty much come up with a bunch of ways and reasons for this Razorback football team to get better. To maybe make a bowl game, if that's the expectation that you have. I think that's a reasonable expectation to have. This team to go at least 6-6, which means they get at least 2, maybe 3 SEC wins. You got to look at the schedule. You got to look at the talent. You got to look at the coaches. And I think that there's a lot of things about them that could maybe make you believe that this team will make it to a bowl game. But if you don't have reasons, if you don't have logic behind it, then it's just something you're throwing out there and seeing what crap will stick to the wall, essentially. But we're going to talk about this. And we're going to give our thoughts and opinions on it, too. Because I think it's fascinating to see where everybody's at, what they want to see in 2019.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
The gyms will be packed today. But then next week won't be as packed.
Not so much. No. I texted Tommy yesterday. I got Whataburger on the way home being in Texas. And I was like, because he wishes there was one here. And yeah, I was like, hot start to this health kick that I'm on.
Yeah, well, I mean,
2019.
That's all right. And at least you can fully admit it and not just try to justify your actions. At least you can do that.
Yeah, we're through an hour of the show and you haven't talked about what you've done for New Year's. I'm kind of shocked. You haven't talked about that yet. You haven't made reference to it or anything.
No, I haven't yet. I guess there's just been too much other things going on. I may bring it up later in the show, though, just to discuss it. And I'm sure because everyone's waiting with bated breath about what I did for New Year's. So, but we'll talk about that here just a bit. But, you know, what we were talking about with New Year's resolutions for Arkansas and the athletic program in 2019. These resolutions are always about reflecting on the previous year, the changes you want to make, how you want to be better in 2019. I mean, that's how it is for all of you personally, all of us personally, and it should be the same way when it deals with the Arkansas Razorback athletic program as well. I mean, nothing different there. So what should be a reasonable New Year's resolution for the Arkansas Razorback athletic program? Because I feel like there are many things that they can improve on. And I feel like most people are probably going to go with the football side of things. They're going to say, make it to a bowl game. They're going to say, beat Texas A&M. Some of you will probably just say, hey, how about you just win an SEC game? Doesn't matter which one, just win one. I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of those options, and justifiably so, because the football team was without a doubt the most disappointing program of all Razorback athletic programs. It's also the most important athletic program to be successful at. You never want to see a program like Arkansas be as bad as what they were, where you had some pretty solid home games, and it was in a stadium that was 60% full at times, it seemed like, especially with the new north end zone expansion where it finally went. Like, what year could there possibly be a worse time for a complete new expansion to go into effect than it was this past season? I mean, it just is really, it really sucks for Razorback fans to have to see this, you know, all this projects and all this money that was put into a program and go 10-2-10. It's just, it's one of those things that just really sucks. But there are some things that you can improve on. Obviously, there are some positive things. The recruiting classes you feel like are really good. You're hoping that it can get turned around pretty quick under Chad Morse. These are all things you're hoping for. But when it comes to resolutions, you always have to give X, Y, Z. It's always about, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and here is the game plan. Here's how I'm going to do it. So when I was kind of, in a way, tongue-in-cheek, but now I'm starting to kind of convince myself of it, I feel like Arkansas's New Year's resolution, a simple one, doesn't have to be something extensive, is just to beat Texas A&M in football. Now, Texas A&M seems to be on the up and up. They're in a better position. They're a better program than Arkansas is right now. Totally get it. But if for whatever reason, Arkansas and A&M have always played close games in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Even though Arkansas was a terrible team, they always played it close. And okay, I'm all for that. So why can't they just take the next step and finally get a victory? Because I feel like that's probably the game, too, that frustrates Razorback fans more than anything. Because listen, you've lost a lot of games, especially in the SEC. You've lost a lot of games to different teams very frequently. I mean, Alabama, you have not beaten since 2006. I don't know if they're shaming that or not because they're really good, but still, it's been that long since you've beaten them. But the one against A&M is just the biggest head scratcher, where it's not like A&M's just been this fantastic football program. In fact, you could even make the argument that Brett Bielema and Kevin Sumlin and their tenures at their respective schools were pretty even. Obviously, Kevin Sumlin had a Heisman Trophy winner and went 11 games in his first season with Johnny Manziel, so he has that over Brett Bielema. But Kevin Sumlin was a perennial 7-5, possibly 8-4 coach there the rest of the way. Which, again, I know it's a little bit of an edge over to Brett Bielema, but still underachieved by most people's expectations.
Yeah, he lost Cliff Kingsbury to Texas Tech, and now Cliff might be going to the NFL, which is just a weird phenomenon in itself. And kind of sometimes what happens when you lose coordinators, like Florida's offense was never the same after Mullen left and under Urban Meyer. Like Adazio didn't get that thing going like many thought he would. And sometimes you fall off when you lose really good coordinators. And I think a perfect example is, like, in Arkansas, the offensive line is the ideal example when you lost Sam Pittman and how quickly that offensive line just fell apart. So when you lose really good coordinators, you tend to take a step back, and someone took a step back from Cliff and just could never recover after that, even with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. And that was, I guess, the more problematic thing is that you can't afford to let that happen if you're when you're a good coach, because that's what Nick Saban's been able to do at Alabama, for instance. He loses coordinators and coaches like they're going out of style. I mean, they just come and go. But he's able to do some foreshadowing and say, all right, I can see that this guy's going to be a rock star. This guy's going to be good enough to get another head coaching job. So I'm going to have somebody waiting in the wings, which I think is probably what you're going to see, for instance, with Dan Enos. I think he's going to be the next offensive coordinator at Alabama, but he came on as the quarterback's coach because I think Nick Saban knew that Mike Loxley at some point was going to get hired as a head coach. So he, that just shows the greatness of Nick Saban always having a plan in place. But not everybody's like Alabama, though. Not everybody can just welcome in a recently fired head coach or a great offensive coordinator or whatnot and just have them wait in the wings. Because most of these coaches, they're like, no, I'm good enough to be the offensive coordinator. I'm good enough to be a head coach. But they don't want to do that at Arkansas. Like, Dan Enos would not have come and said, no, I'll be the quarterback's coach at Arkansas. No. Now, Alabama, okay, but it shows you that they're in another stratosphere. Yeah. And I think that that's the main thing with Arkansas, too, is I guess if there's another thing you could feel good about, and I know people are going to come at me with other reasons behind it, but Arkansas's coaching staff has stayed in place for the most part from last season to this season. Now, going 2-10, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing in a lot of people's minds. They're like, oh, so a staff that went 2-10 is all staying in place. Great.
Some wish it wouldn't, like you're saying.
Yeah, some wish it wouldn't, which I get. But I do believe consistency and continuity is very important to be able to dig yourself out of this hole. And I do believe that there are some talented coaches on this coaching staff for Arkansas. I think they're good at recruiting. I think that there's still some guys that can be able to mold some of the guys they have on staff or on the roster right now into being some good, decent, reasonable SEC players. I think you have some veterans. I mean, John Chavis, still the jury is out on how good of a defense he's going to have. You're going to Steve Caldwell, another defensive line coach, who, you know, I think that he'll be fine there. So you have some veteran guys there, but then you have some younger guys as well. So it's like it's a nice mix. And you think that since they can recruit so well, that's the one piece that they're missing to be able to make themselves into great coaches is by just getting enough talent in there.
Well, a lot of guys can recruit. It's about translating the talent that you bring into on-the-field success. I mean, Butch Jones in Tennessee is a perfect example of that. And kind of you're talking about Nick Saban losing all these guys. You can even look close to home with Dave Van Horn, Jorn, Vitello, Wes Johnson. I mean, if you come coach for Dave Van Horn, there's a very good chance that you could be elevated into another coaching position outside of Arkansas, head coaching, or just in major leagues for Wes Johnson, which is just incredible because that's like the second time that's ever happened in college baseball. But yeah, it's continuity is big, and like you're saying, some fans are ticked off. Team went 2-10, like you have a right to be mad.
Changes.
Yeah, and you didn't have any changes. Sometimes, even through turmoil, it's the continuity is the most important thing because if you start not believing what your standards are, what you're solidified in. If you start like not believing in your coaching staff and your overall concepts, then you can break off very quickly. Mm-hmm. So if Chad Morris believes Joe Craddock is his guy at OC, then he should keep him. If he believes John Chavis is going to get it done on the defensive side of the football, he should keep him. Step Smith, like all these guys. If you believe in them, then you got to keep them. Now, there's a certain time, if it's 3 years down the road and he's still here and there's a certain side of the football or a certain position that's not getting it done, sometimes it's better to cut ties. But at this point, even after a 2-10 season, I don't know if you can just 100% be bold and say, you're gone. We got to get someone else in there.
No. And in fact, you know, that's the thing about assistant coaches too, and we can end on this, is when you look back to, for instance, under Brett Bielema, and you look at the assistant coaches he had in his first year, and how amazing of
some
a staff.
Dudes.
I mean, because if you think about it, Jim Chaney, Sam Pittman, those two guys coaching in Georgia doing a fantastic job. Randy Shannon. I mean, he's the UCF defense coordinator now, but definitely an iconic coach that a lot of people know all about. I mean, Charlie Partridge, defensive line. Another solid guy. Michael Smith, the wide receiver. I mean, you had some Chris Ash, who's a head coach now. He was your defensive coordinator. I mean, you had some great coaches there. And when did Arkansas have that payoff for those great coaches being in place, especially in recruiting? It was about year three, which is sad because that wasn't that great of a year. I think it shows how poor of a coach Brett Bielema was. But the assistants, I think, carried a lot of that load. If Arkansas can get that with what they have now, which they're still the jury's still out on a lot of these coaches, But if they can just find themselves and put themselves in a position to where they can be set up for the next 3 or 4 years to be able to have really good talent, really solid, then that's where you're going. That's where you're pointing to say, all right, that year is where we could really get it going. But like you said, you can recruit all day long. It's about translating it on the field. And as long as these guys can translate the talent on the field, I think everything will be swimming. Everything will be great. But it's just a matter of getting to that point, because assistant coaches are important. Continuity is important. You haven't lost any this year, but if you start to have success, how are you going to retain them? That's going to be the key as well.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
All right, so we were supposed to do this at 8 o'clock, but we got pushed back a little bit, but that's okay since it is Wednesday. It is What's Your Beef Wednesday, so without further ado, let's get into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap me beans.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, and we got a few things I'm going to get into, and I'm going to start off with something that I already alluded to a little bit of here in the show in the beginning, but I'm going to revisit it because I don't feel like I got enough of a rant on it. The college football playoff semifinals were played on Saturday, which is fine. It's great. It's better than playing it on New Year's Eve like it was a couple years ago, where it was an absolute and total failure and disaster of epic proportions. I'm okay with it. But there's still something that feels off about playing arguably the most important games, the two most important games of the college football bowl season, not on New Year's Day. Because if you've been an avid watcher of college football, you know that forever, getting to a bowl game was a big deal. But especially if you got to a New Year's Day bowl game, that means you were highfalutin. That means you had a big time year. Because there was something special about welcoming in the new year and going to a bowl game. And if you're just an Arkansas fan, think about some of the great games that you were a part of in the early part of when you had success, like going to the Citrus Bowl against Michigan, New Year's Day, going to the Cotton Bowl against Texas in 2000 on New Year's Day. There's just something special about it. So not having the college football playoff semifinals on New Year's Day just feels a little off. It's not bad because it's on Saturday, but still feels a little off. And you wonder, why is it this way? Why not just play the games on New Year's Day and then have the national championship that next Monday or whatever day that it sees fit? Why not just do it that way? Well, you want to know why? You want to know why the reason that it is? It's because of one particular bowl game, and that is the Rose Bowl. Listen, of all the bowl games that I would love to go to, I'd love to see Arkansas play in, just to say that they played in and just to say they went, would be the Rose Bowl. A lot of history, a lot of tradition, beautiful area where you're sitting in the stands, you got the mountains in the background, a lot of pageantry and traditions, all that fun stuff that goes along with it. In fact, what was it, Brent Musburger called the granddaddy of them all?
Granddaddy of them all.
That's right. That's the Rose Bowl, and for rightful reason. It's been a great bowl game. But the fact that they will not and refuse to move the bowl game out of January 1st, which causes problems for the college football playoffs game to be on that day, is stupid. And the thing is, it's not even necessarily because of the game itself. It's not like the game has to be played on January 1st. That wasn't even the reason that they really used. It was because of the stupid Rose Bowl parade. The Rose Bowl parade. The Tournament of Roses parade, I believe, is actually what it's called. That's too important to move because that's January 1st. And you can't have the Tournament of Roses parade on a different day from the actual Rose Bowl.
So therefore, we get stuck with watching the Rose Bowl on January 1st, which is a fine game, by the way. I have no issue with that. I have no beef with the game itself. But how much better would yesterday have been if we could have had the college football playoff semifinals on New Year's Day? How much more fun would that have been? Instead of, because it feels like timing is everything. And doesn't it feel weird where the two most important games in all of postseason play, besides the national championship game, were played? And then after that, there were like a bunch of other really good games too. It just feels like the timing's off. Like, what other sport has that?
You want it to be chronological.
Yeah, you want it to have the buildup.
Best games are for last.
Yeah, you have the terrible bowl games in the beginning, building up to the greatest games at the end. And when you have it this way set up, it doesn't feel that way. Like the college football playoff games, I feel like it was a week ago. Essentially, it was. But it also feels even longer because you had other great teams, great games play after the fact. It just feels weird. Everything feels off about this. So my beef is with the Rose Bowl. Now they refuse to move their parade. Now they have to be on the 1st of January. And that's why we can't have it set up to where, imagine if the Rose Bowl was on Saturday and the Fiesta Bowl is on Saturday. And then the college football playoff semifinals were yesterday. It just would feel right and have so much more buildup. I don't know what that would mean for the national championship game, when it would be, because obviously you can't, I don't think you could play it on Monday. You might be able to. It'd be a quick turnaround. But it's just, I hate that. I wish it was the way it's supposed to be, where you had college football playoff semifinals on New Year's Day. It would make life so much easier. That's my beef for today.
All right, my beef is my health, because at kind of the middle of 2018, I thought I sprained my ankle, and I thought it was just a high ankle sprain, but there's some ligament or something that's messed up. I should get the MRI results back today. And then in our annual football game called the Cereal Bowl, where we compete for Captain Crunch, and then the loser gets cornflakes. So there's a big discrepancy on the type of cereal. I think I tore my meniscus in my left knee, which I thought was my ACL, because I tore my ACL in that knee. So I was really scared.
Were you wearing a knee brace?
Yes. So I went to Dr. Heim's office, and he thinks I tore my meniscus. It's a small tear. So it's not bad. And so I come home yesterday. You're not home. And Rowdy runs out the door. And so I can't run or anything, because I don't want to hurt it anymore. And so I kid you not, I'm walking around for 15 minutes, and one of our kind neighbors, kind lady, ends up, like, she has a dog, and she ends up kind of luring Rowdy to her and then holds her for a minute. I kid you not, I was walking around for 15 minutes trying to catch that dog. And so, like, normally I just jog after him and get him, and it would take like 2 minutes.
Can't jog because
I'm doing that, and it's free. And like he sprints out, so I don't have time to grab my jacket or anything, because I don't want to lose him. And this dog runs like if you know John's dog, he's fast little bugger, and he's running around like over the creek area. Like, he runs around the entire complex. Like, I would not be surprised if I like walked like half a mile yesterday. And like, I'm just
a jerk.
I can't run, and I'm calling him, and as soon as I call him, he just sprints the other way. And I'm just like,
see, he's a jerk. So, and these are the reasons why I am having him neutered this week, right there.
This week,
happening.
Poor Rowdy.
Poor Rowdy, nothing.
So, but yeah, and less about Rowdy, just more about my health. So I'm hoping this meniscus gets better, because I haven't played basketball in like 4 months, something like that, 3 or 4 months. And I got a text yesterday about playing, and I want to play again. Like, and I'm supposed to be having this shooting competition with Nick, and so I kind of need to be like,
kind of have to have your meniscus full strength.
Prepared for that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's my beef as of late.
So why did it take you so long to get an MRI on your ankle?
Well, okay, so initially I just thought it was a high ankle sprain. I just didn't worry about it. I stayed off of it. Like, I'd run and stuff. But then I kind of figured out, hey, this thing's actually messed up. So I got an X-ray, came back negative. Finally got the MRI. And MRIs are pricey.
No,
my gosh.
Cheap.
It's didn't have to worry about it when I was in school. Pops was paying for it. It's not pricey. Not cheap. So I get the bill for that this week. Can't wait for that. I wonder if I can expense it. You think Tommy will let me expense that? I'll say I got injured at the station.
I'd say if you actually injured it on company dime or on company time,
he'd have to.
He probably would, but I don't think he can get away with it playing in the Cereal Bowl.
Maybe I could just fabricate and say I heard it.
He knows better.
Yeah.
I'd say Tommy's a businessman. He knows good investments.
He knows what to expense. He knows where to cut ties.
Yeah, so he's probably not going to give you that that money there either. So
he probably cut me loose before he expensed that. So
your ankle's messed up. You got a torn
right
meniscus.
Ankle. I think a slightly torn meniscus. I'm falling apart. And so like,
how do you know it's a torn meniscus? Did you go to the doctor? Or?
Yeah, that's what doctor has. Okay. I haven't gotten the MRI on the knee, so I probably won't get one for a few weeks until if it continues to persist. But like, I usually run a mile before I work out. Like every time, can't really do that. So I'm losing. Because that's what kind of gets me sweating and gets my heart rate up. So I bike like 2 miles now before, but it's not the same caliber. It doesn't get the heart rate up as much.
You're falling apart, man. Sounds like.
I know.
So but, hey, it happens to the best of us, though. That's for sure. All right, final beat for me, just real quick before we get out of here. When I watched the Sugar Bowl last night between Texas and Georgia, great game, whatever. But every time I watch it, though, it reminds me of Arkansas should have beaten Ohio State in 2011. But tattoos and scoop and score, those are the things that I will always be referred to in that. And it's just, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating as a Razorback fan sometimes to be watching games and to look back on what could have been, what should have been, and how great it would have been. The foul ball, of course.
Florida 09.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a painful reminder of what could have been so many times in Arkansas sports history. Now, obviously, there's some great moments. Moments of the highest unlikelihood that ended up happening. Arkansas winning the national championship in basketball. Arkansas, the Hunter Henry heave against Ole Miss in 2015. Like, there's been moments. But sometimes when those painful reminders hit you of Arkansas sports, it just ruins your day. At least ruins my moment. And that's what happened to me last night. I'm sitting there watching the Sugar Bowl, and I remember the feeling I had going into it and the feeling I had after it. And it wasn't a feeling I wanted to have on my first day of 2019. But that's what it was. That's how it happened. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.